PRI, Public Radio International.
You'll hear Anton Bruckner's Cathedral of Sound next on Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. I'm your host, Jim Cunningham. This concert spans four centuries as the Talis Scholars join Manfred Honeck and the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra to bring you music from the Renaissance to the late Romantic period. The Talis Scholars will sing three choral motets by Spanish Renaissance master Tomás Luis de Victoria, followed by two motets by Anton Bruckner, and returning to the late Renaissance, Gregorio Allegri's Miserere Mei Deus. To close, a performance by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra of Anton Bruckner's Romantic Symphony No. 4. Pittsburgh Symphony Radio is made possible by Pittsburgh residents Pat and Michelle Atkins in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation and the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. This concert is a bit unusual. You'll hear the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra at the end of the program. The concert begins with the prestigious Talis Scholars and their director, Peter Phillips, who founded the ensemble in 1973.
It's a wonderful idea. I mean, as you say, it's very unusual. We have done it once before in Berlin, but this is even better, really, because the thought behind it is good, that Bruckner was a Catholic composer and we sing Catholic music. And Bob Moyer, who runs the artistic director here, I think, recognized that Bruckner's Fourth Symphony was a particularly suitable candidate for a bit of our music, and wondered what on earth to put with Bruckner's Fourth Symphony. And eventually he decided he would try us and asked me to choose the most intensely Catholic music I could think of, not least by Bruckner himself. Of course, he wrote wonderfully for choir, but so also did many of our Renaissance guys, and I chose Victoria because Victoria was also famously intense in his beliefs, and was a priest, in fact. So I was hoping that the connection would come over very clearly.
The Talis Scholars founder, Peter Phillips. You'll hear just how well the two ensembles and the composers whose works are being performed complement each other. Tomás Luis de Victoria is considered the greatest composer of the Spanish Renaissance. Born in Avila, Spain in 1548, he trained as a choir boy in the local cathedral until 1565. De Victoria was sent to continue his musical studies at the Jesuit Collegio Germanico in Rome, where he may have studied under Palestrina. After spending a few years as an organist and choirmaster at a Spanish church in Rome, he returned to the Collegio Germanico to teach in 1571. The first motet you'll hear, And When the Day of Pentecost Was Fully Come, appeared in 1572 in one of Victoria's first published works. The second motet is Victoria's setting of the Ave Maria, which he published in that same first book of motets. The third Victoria offering is music from his last publication, My Harp is Tuned for Lamentation, a moving funeral motet he wrote in 1603 in memory of his longtime patron, the Dowager Empress Maria. Now here is the music director of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, Manfred Honeck, to introduce the Talis Scholars.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's very unusual for me to find myself alone on the stage, isn't it? Well, welcome to tonight's concert, which is a part of the Music for the Spirit series. We are so honored to present for the first time on the Heinz Hall stage an extraordinary guest ensemble that is without question the very best what they do, the incomparable Talis Scholars. I am so happy. I am so happy to welcome these exceptional singers and their founder and music director, Peter Phillips, on the occasion of their 40th anniversary tour. The music of Anton Bruckner is unique and very special to me. It has been described as musical architecture, cathedrals of sound. When program a Bruckner symphony, we always think about what we will put before it. What kind of music will prepare the listener's heart and mind for the majestic experience of a Bruckner symphony? In the Talis Scholars, Renaissance sacred music, which Bruckner loved, you will hear the sublime purity and devotion that inspired Bruckner's monumental cathedrals of sound. Please help me welcome the Talis Scholars.
Here are the Talis Scholars on stage at Heinz Hall, where they're making their Heinz Hall debut in three motets by Tomás Luis de Victoria.
Oh.
You heard the Talis Scholars performing three motets for chorus by Tomas Luis de Victoria. We heard first And When the Day of Pentecost Was Fully Come, followed by Victoria's setting of the Ave Maria, and My Harp is Tuned for Lamentation. You're listening to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. We'll hear the Pittsburgh Symphony and Manfred Honeck with Bruckner's Fourth Symphony in a few minutes. But first, an orchestra of voices, the Talis Scholars, creating the sound that Anton Bruckner heard in his ears when he wrote the Fourth Symphony. The next music you'll hear is, in a way, another Renaissance work, but not in the sense of that era. It's the first piece Austrian Romantic composer Anton Bruckner wrote after a 5-year period of creative abstinence. Bruckner was a dedicated pupil of Simon Sechner, from whom he began taking counterpoint lessons in 1856. It wasn't until 1861, when his formal music study was finished, that Bruckner wrote the setting of Ave Maria, which heralded the start of his artistic maturity, and which we'll hear next. The second motet will be Anton Bruckner's Locus Iste, music he wrote in 1869 for the dedication of the votive chapel in the new Linz Cathedral in Austria. These two pieces by Anton Bruckner are favorites of the music director of the Pittsburgh Symphony, Manfred Honeck.
Actually, I have sung it myself when I was in the boys' choir. It's one of my favorite pieces, both pieces. But the other motets from Bruckner had written really several of them. They are spectacular also. Less known, but the Locus Iste and the Ave Maria, they are the highlights of all Bruckner's motets. And it brings a little bit the spirit of a really true believer and true felt music. And if it's sung well, it's for me, it was a one-time experience when I heard the Wiener Staatsopern Choir sing that in the Stift Melk. It was unbelievably, if that's this wonderful deep color and honest emotions what he brought out here, and harmonies which really goes very deep into your soul. I'm very happy that they took this two pieces on the program, and gives also a wonderful link to the symphony, to Bruckner's symphony then.
According to Peter Phillips, director of the Talis Scholars, it's been a long time since the ensemble has sung anything by Bruckner.
Well, the Talis Scholars haven't sung Bruckner for over 30 years. I looked it up. I am reluctant to do 19th century music because I do modern music and Renaissance music, and I think that is enough. Really, but on this occasion I didn't hesitate, and I love this. I love Bruckner. I've always loved the symphonies in particular.
Peter Phillips, who will now join the Talis Scholars to perform two motets for chorus by Anton Bruckner, Ave Maria and Locus Iste.
Thank you.
You heard the Talis Scholars performing two motets for chorus by Anton Bruckner, Locus Iste, and we heard first Ave Maria. You're listening to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio with the Talis Scholars as special guest. Still to come, Anton Bruckner's Symphony No. 4 with Manfred Honeck conducting. We'll now travel back to the Renaissance, where you'll encounter one of the world's legendary one-hit wonders. Gregorio Allegri, born in Rome in 1582, is remembered for one piece, his Miserere Mei Deus, written for the Holy Week Tenebrae service at the Sistine Chapel around 1638. This music had a profound and soon a widely renowned effect on those who heard it. The effect of the Miserere's double choir, alternating verses of plain chant and polyphony, came in part from the sight of candles being ceremoniously extinguished until the chapel was in darkness, signifying the death of Christ at the Tenebrae service. The Miserere quickly became such a great tourist attraction that Pope Urban VIII issued a decree forbidding the score to be copied or performed outside the Sistine Chapel upon pain of excommunication. How the music finally left the chapel is a famous story, which the director of the Talis Scholars, Peter Phillips, will tell us.
In perhaps the most illegal download ever, and he was very young, he was really 12 years old, Mozart went in there about 150 years after it was originally written, and heard it and copied it down afterwards from memory. And apparently he went back the next night, this is in Holy Week, with the manuscript that he'd written out concealed in his hat. I cannot understand why he was wearing a hat in the Sistine Chapel in Holy Week. Anyway, perhaps behavior was different in those days. Anyway, that was one of the ways that the music for this fabulous, literally fabulous piece came out of the Sistine Chapel. And it's how we are able to sing it to you now. And the gallery is up there.
Thank you. Spirit of Grinchy,
You heard the Talis Scholars with their founder, Peter Phillips, singing Gregorio Allegri's Miserere. The Miserere Mei Deus, which Mozart's father described as one of the secrets of Rome, was kept under wraps until it was published by a Roman priest in 1840. It has since become one of the most frequently heard pieces in Renaissance choral music. Music that inspired the devout Austrian composer Anton Bruckner. We'll hear his fourth symphony in E-flat major, Romantic, with the Pittsburgh Symphony conducted by Manfred Honeck in just a moment. You're listening to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. I'm Jim Cunningham. I've been enjoying the Talis Scholars with you. Jim Wilkinson is the president and CEO of the Pittsburgh Symphony, resident conductors Fauzi Haymore and Lawrence Lowe. The Pittsburgh Symphony is always on the air with the Pittsburgh Concert Channel from the WQED.org website, and you can find archived concerts available on demand 24 hours a day. Just Google Pittsburgh Concert Channel. I hope you'll write. I'd like to send you a souvenir from Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Symphony Program Reading Light, which will fit in your wallet, is in the shape of a credit card, and it will help you read concert programs in low light. It magnifies small print. Get one free while they last with the Radio Guide, a complete list of concerts in the series. There are photographs of our soloists, the Pittsburgh Symphony history, Manfred Honeck's story, and much more. It's all free. Write to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA 15213. You can send email to pso@wqed.org, or you'll find the website at psoradio.org. Let me know what station you're listening to. If you missed the address, stay tuned. I'll give it again at the end of this Pittsburgh Symphony Radio broadcast. Pittsburgh Symphony Radio is made possible by Pittsburgh residents Pat and Michelle Atkins in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation and the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. It's Pittsburgh Symphony Radio from Public Radio International.